Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker was originally part of a double bill, shared with a one-act opera about a blind princess who discovers the redemptive power of love. And that opera, Iolanta, is the Queen City Opera's latest production, and I'm so glad to have artistic director Isaac Selya back in the studio. Hi, Isaac.
Hello, Anne. Thanks for having me here.
Give us some background on Iolanta.
So this is Tchaikovsky's final opera, as you said, and premiered as a double bill with Nutcracker, and it has the same musical language of being a fairy tale with having very, very colorful use of the winds to create a magical world. And I think this is an incredibly important piece historically. Right after its premiere, it had enormous popularity. It was conducted by Gustav Mahler just a month after the premiere in 1893 in Hamburg, and it's kind of a shame that it's not performed more often outside of Russia, but I think it's starting to have a renaissance.
I was going to say it's had a resurgence in recent years, and I think we can thank the marvelous soprano Anna Netrebko for that, because in her concerts when she was performing with another tenor, such as Rolando Villazon, she would feature that famous duet.
Oh, yes, amazing duet.
And that had a big impact, I think, in reviving interest in it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, to tell you the truth, I first discovered the piece at the Med-HD broadcast a few years ago in a double bill with Bluebeard's Castle. And I was just so blown away by the piece, I started learning Russian right then just to be able to conduct this.
And the story itself is actually, I think, a Danish story.
Yeah, it's a Danish play, yeah.
Then translated into French, which is probably how Tchaikovsky came up with it. So tell us about the production and your cast. It is a one-act opera.
It's a one-act.
With no intermission.
No intermission, 90 minutes. And this production is going to be presented in collaboration with the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Because the title character is blind, so we thought it'd be cool to have a partner organization who advocates for people with visual impairments. And the director of this production is going to be coming from Austin, Texas. Her name is Rebecca Herman. She runs a very, very cool company in Austin called Local Opera Local Artists, LOLA, that recently did a production of La Boheme featuring an all-female cast. So she's a really, really cool director who's gaining a lot of traction around the U.S., and we're really excited to work with her.
Give us an outline on the story, because listeners may not be familiar at all with this fairy tale.
So Iolanta is a princess, and she is born blind, and her father, King René, has decreed that nobody can tell her that she's blind. And she's locked away in a castle with a few attendants who know that she's blind. She has no contact with the outside world. And she is engaged from childhood in an arranged marriage to the Duke Robert. And Robert and his friend Vaudemont are traveling through the mountains, and they stumble upon this castle. And they don't know that it's Iolanta there. And they go in, and Robert isn't interested, and he just leaves. And Vaudemont and Iolanta meet up, and he realizes that she's blind because he says, "Can you pass me one of those roses?" And she gives him one. He says, "No, no, no, how about one of the red ones?" And she says, "What does red mean?" And that's kind of the setup for this amazing duet where he describes light to her. And her answer is actually, it's fascinating. She says, "You know what? That sounds okay, but I don't really need light."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't have the narrative you would expect of saying, you know, something is wrong with you. You need to change. She says, "Oh, that's what people have been hiding all along. You know, I don't really need that."
Yeah. At one point he says, you know, "What are my eyes for? They're to cry."
For crying. Yeah. Exactly. But I think what we find out in the rest of the opera is that the thing that she was really actually missing was love, because, you know, she has this interaction with Vaudemont, and it's very moving that there, you know, she discovers this truth through him. And her father has brought a doctor from afar who can restore her sight so long as she knows that she's blind and wants to see again. So they trick her into wanting to see. Her father decrees that Vaudemont has to die because he broke this rule of not telling Iolanta about light. And she says, "No, no, 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 please don't kill him. I'll do anything." And he says, "Well, will you subject yourself to the doctor's treatment to have your sight restored?" And she says, "Okay."
So tell us about your cast.
So the cast is a mix of singers from CCM and from elsewhere, but they're all emerging singers. Our Iolanta is Raquel Gonzalez, who I met at the Glimmerglass Festival and is really making a career for herself. She recently sang the role of Butterfly at Washington National Opera. In the role of Marta, who is Iolanta's nurse, we have Melissa Bonetti, CCM graduate. The role of Brigitta is being sung by Charisse Arnolds, local soprano. And the role of Laura, another of Iolanta's attendants, is being sung by Lauren McAllister. Then for the gentleman, we have King René is being sung by Stefan Egerstrom, CCM graduate. And then the role of Robert, which has a virtuoso baritone aria, which is very, very famous, is being sung by Simon Baird. And then the role of Vaudemont is being sung by M. Andrew Jones, another CCM graduate. The role of Almeric is being sung by Chandler Johnson, who's finishing up at CCM right now. And then the role of Bertrand is being sung by Junbo Zhao, also CCM.
And you have, in addition to your fascinating director, you have lighting and sets, and tell us about that.
So set design is going to be done by Lizzie Duquette, local West Side Pricedale-based artist who's done some of our productions before. And then lighting is being done by Larry Cernick, who's worked at NKU a lot and has really been doing a lot of cool work with opera and lighting.
And this is, again, at the Dunham Arts Center, correct?
This is the Dunham Arts Center. Oh, there's one member of the team that I absolutely have to mention, though. Ksenia Polstyankina-Barad is going to be functioning as principal coach. And I mean, she's a native speaker of Russian and a phenomenal pianist. We couldn't do it without her.
So tell us a little bit about what she'll be doing with the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
So this connection actually came about through ArtsWave's Boardway Bound program, which connected us with a board member, Vicky Lawrence, who also works at Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So when we were sitting around at the board meeting talking about the upcoming pieces we had, she said, oh, this sounds like a great project we could collaborate on. So they'll just be sending someone before the production just to give a pre-concert presentation on what are the issues that people with visual impairments face, what can we do to help them in their lives.
And sight restoration is a controversial topic
these days. It really is, yeah.
Because there have been studies done and examples shown that the people who do get their sight restored are not necessarily happier individuals.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's one of the questions that you can really see discussed in the opera. You know, did she want her sight restored? It wasn't, yes, but it wasn't because she wanted to see. It was kind of for another reason. So I'm not sure we have the answer to that, but we definitely want to have all the voices in that discussion.
There have been productions of Yolanta, including the one that you saw on the MedHD, in which I did get to see in person, that are starker and darker. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take a more fairy tale approach, or how are you approaching this?
I'm glad you asked that. Part of the answer to that, I have to tell you the story of how we tracked down the materials to perform this, because just getting the sheet music for this was kind of a struggle, and I had to like contact some people in Russia. But the copy of the score that I got has two different versions of the text, because there's the original version, and then there's another version that was put together for a Bolshoi production under the Soviet regime. And it secularizes a lot of the plot, but kind of keeps the same storyline, but without it kind of being like, and then we prayed to God and he restored her sight. So we're actually going to be using the Soviet version of the text, just because I think the story that it tells is just a little bit more human. So the only major change we're making to the production beyond that is that we're going to be updating the setting to Tchaikovsky's time instead of 15th century Provence. And part of the reason for that is kind of practical. The opening scene, Iolanta has some musicians who are playing for her, and they're supposed to be on stage. And it would be kind of hard for us to get musicians on stage when they would be in the pit. So instead, we're just going to have an old-time Victrola just being developed in Tchaikovsky's time that she'll be using to listen to music.
Well, thanks so much. It sounds like a wonderful production of a really, as you say, an opera that deserves a wider audience.
Definitely,
and we
does.
Hope that's what you'll get. Isaac Selye is the artistic director of Queen City Opera, presenting Tchaikovsky's Yolanta on Friday, May 25th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, May 27th at 3 p.m. at the Dunham Community Arts Center in Price Hill. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Arenstein.